Hi there. In today's video, I'm going to be talking about living by faith versus living by feeling. And I want to give you five keys to grow and mature in that area in your life. Good. Hey, before we do that, if you're new to my YouTube channel, my name's Graham Jones. I'm a Brit living in America on a mission here. And I lead some churches, travel in ministry, have a family, one wife, three kids, and a dog, and I love Jesus. So, hey, check out my website, gjm.org. A few practical things. If you're new to the channel, why not hit the subscribe button there? Give the bell symbol a long press, and check out the links below. We have an email newsletter we send out every week with free teaching, updates, travel, events, live videos, blog posts, different things like that. And we have a free three-hour teaching on how to hear God's voice for everybody who signs up there. So again, check out the links there below. Good. Well, I'm in the midst of a teaching where I've been talking about the parable Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7. You'll know the one, where Jesus talks about two men who built a house. But one chose to build his house on the sand, and the other chose to build his house on the rock. And of course, a storm came. It's interesting, but I think the same storm, Jesus uses the exact same words. The rain fell, it beat, the wind blew, great was the fall of the house. The rain fell, the wind blew, it beat, the house stood. The same storm hit both houses. And I've been making the point in this series that the issue is not the storm, the issue is the foundations. Storms don't destroy houses. Foundations destroy houses. And I believe we're all going to go through storms. I don't mean to speak a negative word over your life, but at times we're all going to go through that. We're all going to go through seasons. 2020 has been literally a worldwide storm, pandemic, racial tensions here in America, elections. It feels like a storm still blowing at the moment. And we're going to go through individual storms. Churches go through storms. Families go through storms. Storms are going to happen. You can't live in a storm-free zone. The question is, how are your foundations? What are your foundations based upon? And one of the great keys as well in some of these passages is actually realizing that storms reveal foundations. Storms, when we go through a storm, it's the only real time we actually tend to think about our foundations. Excuse me. And I believe God wants us to think about our foundations before storms start. I think God wants us to think about our foundations before the wind ever blows. The best time to think about your foundation is on a sunny day. So today, if there's nothing going wrong in your life, great, hallelujah. But it's a great opportunity to actually think, what are the foundations of my life? What are they really based on, built upon? And how do I have the foundations God wants me to have? Well, where I want to go really briefly with you guys today, every day I'm just trying to touch a different element of this. I want to talk about living by faith versus living by feelings. Now, God calls us all to be a people of faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, the Bible says faith is the victory which overcomes the world. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What happens, I think, at times in a storm is we all find out that when we thought we were believing God, what we're sometimes believing is how we feel about God. You know, it's very easy to believe that God loves you when you're surrounded by this emotion of God's love. I find it very easy to believe in God, and many others do, when we go to church and we're surrounded by believers and the love of God's there and we praise Him and the presence of God fills the room and the Word of God is being preached and testimonies are being given about, you know, all the great things that God has done in somebody's life. What happens though, two or three days later, when you're not feeling anything? That's the thing, when you're going through a storm, you're usually in a place where your feelings are more influenced by the storm, by the fear, than you are by the Lord. And it's a really great key, I'll come back to this in a moment, to learn that God is the same even when you don't feel Him. What you feel about God is wonderful for you, or not, if you're not feeling something, but it's actually irrelevant to who God is. God is the same. He says in Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. And God is not up and down one minute, He's constant, He's the same. And I believe it's a really simple lesson, but one we need to learn, that we can't be ruled by what we feel. Do you remember Thomas? Jesus rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. during the first time Jesus appeared. And when Thomas heard about it later, Thomas turned to the other disciples and said, unless I can see him with my eyes, unless I can touch him and feel him, unless I can put my hand into the wound in his side, I will not believe. It's interesting, he used the word, I will not. It was a choice. But he was saying, Thomas was saying, I'm going to allow my choices, I'm going to choose to believe based on what I see, smell, feel, taste, or touch. And again, I think we all do that. It's not wrong, but it's the baby stage. And I think what God is trying to do with the church is to wean us off of some of those things and bring us to a place where we love to feel things. It's great to feel God. It's great to experience him in those ways. But our faith is not dependent on feeling God. Our faith is dependent on this. To have faith in God, how do you have faith in God? Faith is not this weird force, this weird feeling. To have faith in God basically means to have faith in God's word. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I can only know God by his word. I can't know God by what I feel about him, what I experience of him. Again, I'm not against feelings or experiences, but they've got to line up with the word of God. So how do we grow? How do we become a person who's not living by the storms of feeling, but rather living on the rock of the word of God? Let me give you five quick keys. Number one, we've got to get the word of God from our head to our heart. Here's what I've noticed. I think at times for all of us, we think we believe when we have God's word in our head, so to speak, when we've learned something, when we hear truth and we think, yeah, I know that. And then the storm hits us. And at that point, we find out what we really believe. I know so many of us believe in healing because we've heard teaching, we've read a book, we've, you know, been around some good exposition of teaching or healing, and then we get sick. And the funny thing is, when you're sick, you usually feel it. And there's nothing like feeling sick, where suddenly all of these concepts and doctrines in your head have very little value because I feel sick. And how do we get the word of God anchored? It's really easy. I believe we've got to move it from our head to our hearts. The challenge is to get God's word from your head and into your heart. How do you do that? Really, two or three things. You do that by speaking God's word. Again, I'm always cautious saying that because I don't believe there's a power in simply saying words like a parrot, like a computer speaking. You know, but there's a power when we speak and we engage our mind with God's word. When we're not simply saying the word 100 times, by his stripes I am healed, by his stripes I'm healed, will not get you healed. I tried that once. I once actually spent a whole morning walking around saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And after about 2 or 3 hours, I felt God speak to me and said, do you actually believe that? Do you believe that you're healed? And At first, I tried to con God. I tried to be all religious. Yes, yea, Lord, I believe. And here's what the Lord said to me. He said, if you believe you're healed, why are you trying to get healed? Think about that for a minute. If you believe you're healed, why are you trying to get healed? If you believe you're healed, why you don't try to get what you believe you've got. Yeah, if I were to go to God and say, give me a Bible, give me a Bible, give me a Bible. And he says, I've given you one. You already have one. We don't try to get God to give us what we believe we have. Now, if I would have walked the floor for 2 or 3 hours saying, Lord, I thank you that by those stripes 2,000 years ago laid on the back of Jesus, I am healed. I'm not trying to convince God. I'm convincing myself. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. It's a done deal. It's settled in heaven. The challenge is to settle that word in our heart, to have what Psalm 112 calls the established heart. So how do we get it from our head to our heart? Again, speaking it, thinking about it, praising it. More than anything, I think meeting God in his word, actually fellowshipping. I love to take that verse, like by stripes and me, and bring it and I say, Father, I thank you, this is true, and I praise you, and I'm fellowshipping with him around that truth. How do we become a person who's not living by faith? Number two, realize that temptations, and I use that word not like a temptation to sin, but an attack, are not a bad thing. They're a good thing. The issue is not, again, storm blowing. It's how we respond to that storm blowing. James said in James chapter 1, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, testings, trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience." But then he carried on in James 1, 7 and 8. He talks about, don't be like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Don't waver. The Bible says Abraham wavered not in his faith. And here's the point. When your faith is under attack, rejoice. Look at it as an opportunity. Satan came to Adam and Eve and he said, "Hath God said?" Did God really say that? And what Adam should have done is said, "Yes, God did say that." When Satan came to Jesus and said, "Hath God said, are you the Son of God?" Jesus didn't look at his feelings. Jesus was in the desert. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He probably didn't feel anything. What did Jesus do though? Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." So when we will confront a temptation, an attack with "it is written," amen, we begin to anchor that word again in us. Third thing we do is we realize feelings are real. Denying your feelings, your emotions, what you experience is stupid. It's denial, literally. But here's a great key. Feelings are real, but they're not permanent. They change really easily. So you can get up one morning feeling God isn't real, feeling God doesn't love you, feeling he's far from you. But I tell you what, if you'll begin to speak God's word, walk up and down the room and begin to praise him, you'll begin to feel something very, very quickly. So feelings are real, but they're not permanent. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he said, "While we look, we fix our attention not on the things which are temporary, which change, which move, which are subject to change." He said, "We should fix our attention on the eternal things of God's word." So number three, look for the permanency of God's word rather than the temporary sense of your feelings. Number four, come into his presence. You know, we'll all go through times where our faith is being tried, where we believe something. Let's say I'm feeling sick and I believe Jesus is my healer. What do I do? What a lot of people do is they stand on God's word for a little bit and then they fall into this trap, this deception of waiting for it to happen. Again, listen to me carefully, guys. If you're waiting for something to happen, you don't believe it's happened. I want to say that again. When somebody comes to me and says, "Graham, I believe God's word and I'm waiting for the manifestation." What's the manifestation mean? It means they're waiting to be healed, they're waiting to feel it. If you're waiting for something, you don't believe you've got it. Now, what do we do instead of that? Here's the key. Again, I would write this phrase down. It's been such a help to me over 30 years now. There's a place in God's presence where we seek God for himself rather than for the manifestation, where he can accelerate the manifestation. So here's my point. If I'm in that place where I'm sick as a dog in my experience, but I believe Jesus is my healer, what I don't do is play the evangelical thing of, "Well, I believe God and I'm just waiting and in God's timing it will happen." That's a con job from hell. Okay, that doesn't work. What I don't do is try to manipulate God and, "God, I'm going to fast and pray until you do this." It's just trying to force God and it doesn't work. What I do is set some time away. I'll fast and pray at times. Excuse me. My phone is being naughty here. I will seek God for himself rather than the manifestation. I'll come into his presence and say, "Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to seek you, not seeking a feeling of healing, seeking a sensation in my emotions, but Lord, what I'm going to do is come and be with you and seek you and get to the place where you are more real than this thing in my experience. I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to get to the place," the old song says, "turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So Lord, I'm going to seek you. I want to come to the place where you are more real to me than anything I feel. Boom. That's a really powerful key, guys. And the last thing I think we do is we remember all the times God came through before. Again, when you're in that situation where the storm's blowing and it feels so real and you've got God's word, but God's word feels so unreal, look back and remember all of the times God came through. God promised you this and you're not even sure how it happened, but it did happen. It came together. God came through. God came through. And if you'll actually look back and encourage yourself with the testimonies of what God did in the past. That will build faith in your experience as well. Boom. I hope that helped, guys. Helps, guys. So live on the rock, not on the sand. Amen. Hey, I'm wishing you well, cheering you on wherever you're at today. My name's Graham Jones, and I approve this message. Bye for now.